صلي على محمد وآل محمد.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد
وعلى أهل بيته الأثيبين الأنجبين، بهم نتولى ومن أعدائهم نتبرأ إلى الله. اللهم كن لوليك الحجة بن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة، وليا محافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا، حتى تسكنه ارضك التوراة وتمتعه فيها وطويلا.
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد.
Some questions and that is regarding the rules of jama'ats. When you've got a congregation that has been held and you come and join a bit late, if the imam was in Maghrib and he had done two of his raka'ah and you join him, it means that you, first of all, you have to know that Maghrib prayers, if there are three raka'ah, whether you offer them in jama'at or whether you do them farada, whether you arrive late or not, you have to complete those three raka'ah. And if you join late when the imam was in the second rak'at, so you are missing one rak'at. That has to be made up. It isn't as such that because you join the imam in the second rak'at and the imam finishes his maghrib in the third and it is your second, you also have to finish your prayers. If you do that, that namaz, that prayer is batil. It has to be made up once again. So those three rak'at have to be there even if you are in jama'at. So what you do is that it's going to be your first, imam second, and when he will be reciting the tashahud, either you sit and recite the tashahud as the imam, or you stand up, or you are sitting in a posture as if you want to get up. And once he's done the tashahud, then you stand up, and then you complete, you recite, because it will be your second rak'at, you will recite the suratul ham and the surah. If the time wasn't sufficient enough for you to recite the entire surahs, both of them, whatever you've done, if it's half of Suratul Ham, that's it. You don't need to do any more. And then you go to ruku with the imam and then continue with your prayers. Here, imam's prayer will be the third rak'at, yours will be the second. After your tashahud, you will stand up, do your third rak'at, and then complete your prayer. That is one. The other issue is that in a jama'at prayer, so women, they have to stand behind men. If they stand in the same line, their prayer will be batil. May that be for jama'at, or may that be for farada, may that be at home, or may that be in the center. If you stand in the same line with your husband, with your brothers, with your prayers will be batil, sisters. The other thing is that in jama'at prayers, when the imam is in ruku, so you have to be in ruku. If, for example, you get up quicker than the imam, if that was done purposely, it will make your namaz batil. But you thought that imam has got up and you also got up and stood from ruku, then it's okay. And you find the imam is in ruku, you can go down if you think he's going to be late in ruku. But if you know that he's going to get up just now, then you can stand. The same thing is with sajda and the entire namaz. There has to be this muwalat. Muwalat means you have to follow the imam. You can't be before the imam. If he is in ruku, you have to be in ruku after him. You say al takbiratul ihram after him. You go in sajda after him or with him. So that muwalat, or that has, it has to be observed. There was another question that as to why silk and gold is haram for men. What is the reason behind that? Many of the ahkam, most of them, we don't know what is the reason behind them. We are told to act in that way because of obedience. Because Rasulullah said so, we submit. Blindly we submit. Why is it that whether it's harmful, whether it's good, bad, we don't care? Because he said, we have to listen to him. That is taslim, that is submission, that is what Islam, Allah wants from us. And that is the height of obedience. When we start questioning why, that is that we are not obedient. And this obedience again is in layers. You've got your parents in the first batch, you've got husband also there, you've got then the mujtahid, the alim, the mujtahid, the marja, imam, rasul, and then Allah. So that obedience is in all different layers. And if we start practicing this obedience at home, it will be easier to practice that obedience in higher levels. If we start questioning why, to our parents and to the mujtahid, then definitely whatever Allah says, we will never listen to him. So obedience starts from home, and we have to practice that. And the other question was regarding this halal consumption, that you get all these halal hotel restaurants outside, can you just rely on that halal name and eat? You cannot, because halal, it means nothing. It's just a tag. You have to have that itminan, meaning that you have to be satisfied with that person who is selling that meat, with that person who is running that restaurant, and if you are satisfied that itminan is there, that whatever he is serving, it's to your satisfaction, only then you can eat. Otherwise, blindly, you cannot. Because anything halal, haram, which gets into your belly, riwayat, they say that for 40 days, du'as will not be accepted. And we don't want that to happen. First of all, we don't know these prayers, these du'as that we recite, how much of it is accepted. And on top of that, if we have this haram also in our bellies, and if du'as are not to be accepted for 40 days, what a mess would it be? And what a mockery we have made of ourselves. So halal tags, you can't just take them blindly. It's been not also when we say your satisfaction, you ask your fellow mu'mineen, you see the practice of the mu'mineen, you ask the alim in town, that is that person reliable, can we buy from him? And if you find that it is reliable, you can. Today, it's the wafat of Hazrat Khadija alayhi salam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
The mother of Sayyidatu Nisa'il Alameen, Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
One of the greatest ladies, one of the four ladies, who are known to be the best in the entire creation. Her daughter, she is the foremost, she comes the second, then comes Hazrat Maryam, and then is Asiya. Asiya is the wife of Fir'aun. The Holy Prophet, he says that فُضِّلَتْ خَدِيجَ عَلَى نِسَاءِ أُمَّتِي كَمَا فُضِّلَتْ مَرْيَمْ عَلَى نِسَاءِ الْعَالَمِينَ. Says that as, in another report, says that as Hazrat Maryam was exalted and she was given that rank of the best of women of her nation, says Khadija is given the title and the rank of the best of women of my nation, of this nation of Islam. خَيْرُ نِسَائِهَا مَرْيَمْ بِنْتُ عِمْرَانِ وَخَدِيجَ بِنْتُ خُلْدِ is the best of women. Her performance regarding Rasulullah, it's amazing. The loyalty which she possesses, the sacrifices which she gave, may that be in the upbringing of Hazrat Zahra, may that be in protection of Rasulullah. She is the wealthiest woman in the Arabian Peninsula, the wealthiest businesswoman. All she has, she gives away in the way of the Prophet to promote his religion, to promote his faith. In reality, if we see that whatever of Islam we have today, it is all the investment of Hazrat Khadija alayhi salam. Amir al-Mu'mineen in the Nahj al-Balagha, he says that now those of you who've been to Mecca and those of you who've seen the Ghar al-Hira, the cave of Hira, it's about The altitude of it is 3,000 feet high from the ground level. And if you want to get to the height of it, it would take at least 3-4 hours, good 3-4 hours, if you are of good health. Here in Lahd al-Balagha, Amir al-Mu'mineen says, when Rasulullah, when that mission started, when the revelation of Wahi had started, and he was in Ghar Hira, it was as such that many a times he was there. And many a times Amir al-Mu'mineen also was there. And we'll talk on this in the forthcoming nights. He says that that Wahi is being revealed to Rasulullah. And he says, I was there and I heard that revelation, that Wahi, that is being revealed to the Prophet. And there, the Prophet says, إِنَّكَ تَسْمَعْ مَا أَسْمَعْ وَتَرَى مَا أَرَى وَلَكِنَّكَ لَسْتَ بِنَبِيٍّ. That is, you listen to what I listen, you hear what I hear, you can see what I can see. But the difference between you and me is that I am a Prophet, you are not. Here Amir al-Mu'mineen says that I was with the Prophet, and there the third person present who used to come on and off in that cave of Hira is Khadija alayha salam. And she climbs that mountain all the way up, the richest woman in the Arabian Peninsula, and she brings the food for the Prophet so that he doesn't starve up there in that cave of Hira. So such wonderful performance she has. Raises Hazrat Zahra in just for a few years. And then when it is her last moments, she says that Asma bint Umais, who later becomes, she says to Asma that, Asma, I want you to, when Zahra will be wedded and she will be going to her husband's house, I want you to be with her, don't leave her alone. Now when Hazrat Zahra, it's the night of her wedding and she is to go to her husband's house, Rasulullah says, every woman who is in the house to leave and Zahra to be all alone, I want to see her. All the wives should be away. Everyone, when he comes and he sees that Asma is present over there, says, did you not listen to what I said? I said, everyone should leave. She says that I want to be obedient to you, but a word I have given to Khadija in her last moments, that I will be with Zahra. She said, be with her on the day of her wedding, and fulfilling her wasiyah, I stayed behind. And then Rasulullah prays for Asma bint Umais. And again, another thing that we find over here, that being the most wealthiest woman and who has given away everything in the way of Rasulullah, the last few years of her life are the toughest moments. 3 years in Sheikh Abi Talib, where you find that Hazrat Abu Talib alayhi salam passes away. Just a few days after that, we find that there is another tragedy which hits the Holy Prophet, and that is his most loyal wife, she also passes away. Now in her last moments, she says that, Ya Rasulullah, I fear the path ahead, that is barzakh, that is the grave. And she says that, for me to be comforted in that, to be relaxed in that barzakh, it's a wish that I have. Says Rasulullah, now over here again she doesn't say that message directly to Rasulullah because of that hujj, that haya she has. She says that, I've got a wish, but I can't say that to you directly. Says, how do you want to say that? Says, I will say that to Zahra, my daughter, and she will convey it to you. Then she gives the message to Zahra, and the Prophet asks her, what was the message? Says, her wish is that she wants that cloak of yours, that rida, that aba of yours, in which the first revelation was revealed upon you, the first wahi, the first ayah that was revealed, the clothes which you were wearing, I want those clothes to be my kafan. That is the beauty of this noble lady. And again, that wish of hers is given to her daughter. Rasulullah accepts. And when she passes away, Jibreel, he descends, says, the kafan of this great lady is upon Allah, tabaraka wa ta'ala. He sends forth the shroud in which she is to be shrouded. Rasulullah says, based upon her wish, I have to wrap her in the cloak which I was when that first wahi was revealed, and then that kafan which Allah sent forth also was given to her. The last moments of her life, that is the 3 years which she was in that ship, may Abi Talib, were the toughest moments for the Muslims, that is the new Muslims. And then for 3 years they didn't have anything to eat and drink. And in those days, whatever wealth she had remained with her, she gave multiple folds prices to get as much as food and sustenance for the Muslims here in Sheikh Abi Talib. She passes away in those days, and that year was named as Aam al-Huzn, that is, the year of grief by Rasulullah, because two afflictions were hit. One tragedy was the passing away of Abu Talib alayhi salam, and the second was the passing away of Khadija alayhi salam. Now, we have many riwayah that have been reported regarding the greatness of Hazrat Khadija. Aisha, she says that not a day passed but that we found Rasulullah talks so loud about Hazrat Khadija. Now in one of these books that we have, Hazrat Khadija alayha salam, she says that if all the riches, the wealth of this dunya was given to me, it was given to her in quite a lot, but it was taken away from her as during her lifetime. She says that if all the riches of this dunya were given to me, not temporarily, but permanently, forever, and all of that was to stay with me, she says, I will give away all of that just for one look at the Prophet. Now one look, she says that is just a blink of an eye. How long does it take? A fraction of a second. She says, I'm ready to give away all of that just for that one blink of an eye of that kind look of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And again we have riwayat that have been reported from her which are shaking. And they say, she says that when she is on her deathbed, when she is ill, to Asma and to the Prophet, that after me, take good care of Zahra. I don't want anyone to yell at her. I don't want anyone to shout at her. I don't want anyone to slap her. But not long after her, we find that within 10 years, 12 years, all that what she never ever thought of happened with this noble household, but worse than that happened on that day when Rasulullah, he passed away. The topic that has been selected for tonight is, again, the qualities which mu'mineen need to possess were mentioned almost every day in the light of the sayings of our first Imam. And one of the things which mu'mineen must not possess is hasad. Hasad means jealousy. What does it mean? To understand this, I'll just start with a little narration. First from Quran says that فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهُ وَلَا يَحْسُدَنَّ بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا. That is, be God-fearing, observe taqwa, and never be jealous of each other. Our sixth Imam Sadiq alayhi salam,
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad,
he quotes a hadith. He says that during the time of Prophet Isa alayhi salam, there was one of the students or one of the companions of Hazrat Isa who was very close to him. He says that Prophet Isa, he was walking and all of a sudden he comes by the seashore and says Bismillah and starts walking on the water, on that sea. He said Bismillah. Now this companion, he also said Bismillah, and he also started walking on that sea. So they were on the sea walking for quite a distance, and then this person, that is that companion of Prophet Esau, he says, what difference is there between me and Esau? We both are the same. He said, Bismillah, he walked on that water, I also said the same, and I'm also walking on that water, there is no difference between me and him. The moment this thought came to his mind, he started drowning. He started drowning, then Prophet Esau turned back and said, what happened? What did you do? Why are you drowning? He brings him out, and then he says, this is what had happened. That is the jealousy, hasad. Because of that hasad, now I'll define what exactly this hasad means. Look into Dua Joshan Sareer. Once in a while recite it. It's a beautiful dua, and it's good to put away your enemies, whoever your enemy is. And nowadays we've got a whole lot of enemies from surrounded from every side, in all formats, in all forms. So the more we get stronger with these du'as, the better we will benefit. So Dua Joshan Sareer, there the Almighty, he lists all the blessings and says that, for which of these blessings can I be thankful? Like that Surah Al-Rahman, after every blessing, says that, فَبِأَيْكِ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَا. Now, jealousy, what does it mean? It is wishing that the blessings that are given to an individual, for example, if Allah gives knowledge to someone, Allah gives beauty to someone, Allah gives wealth to someone, or gives children to someone, we wish that that blessing which Allah has given to that person is seized away from him. That is jealousy. That is hasad. We put some terms here. Hasad means jealousy. Hasid means that person who is jealous. And mahsood is that person who, or that thing which we are envious to. Keeping in mind all that was mentioned yesterday in the days before regarding tawakkul, regarding rida, regarding the distribution of sustenance, here Allah says that whatever a mu'min possesses, or whatever a human being possesses, that is given to him rightfully. That is, he deserves it, he owns it. And with this jealousy, I say that may that be seized away from him and given to me, or seized away from him. Sometimes we say that there are a lot of favors that are given to an individual. And we say that we wish we also had the same. That is okay. That is ribta. That is not a sin. That is wishing for the same blessings that were blessed to other mu'mineen, we wish to have the same. Now the most painful stories that you look back into Quran and Riwayat, or even in our day-to-day lives that we have, the most painful stories are of those who are jealous. May that be men, may that be women. Hasad is the worst of diseases, strangles its partners, in the punishments of this dunya and afflicts that eternal adab, that eternal chastisement. Now a person who is hasood, that is a person who is jealous, it is not as such that he has a happy life. His life is full of pain. Because of this hasad which he has, he wants things to be taken away from others. He lives and he burns in flares of jealousy. He is never happy. And God's mercy is eternal and unlimited on his creation, but the hasood, he is constantly in adab. So by his jealousy, he does not do any harm to anyone else. He is harming himself. And in Riwayat, we find that someone who is jealous, by his jealousy, what he does is that the good that he has done throughout his life, it's automatically transferred to that other person who he is jealous of. All that bad and evil which he has done is given back to this person. That is what happens with a person who is hasood. There is a hadith which our sixth imam, he says that a person who is hasood, with his sharp sights that he has, sometimes he can harm you. And that is why we find that ulama, they say, for example, if you get some time, look into this Tafsir Namuna, written by Ayatullah al-Islam al-Karim Shirazi. He talks in detail about this topic of jinxing, for example, that people, it is possible they can jinx with their evil eyes that they have. Imam over here says that by that one sharp look on that person who is jealous, he can jinx you, he can harm you, he can hurt you. It's like these laser beams that can hit an individual. But on the contrary, we do have riwayah, which are a lot, that say that a person who is hasood, he cannot harm you at all, but he harms himself more. So, we have to be careful that this hasad, it has to be kept away from us. The Prophet, he says that every blessing, it has enemies. And he was asked, who are they? He replied that those who envy others for the favors bestowed on them from Allah, they are the enemies again. Or sometimes says that the Almighty says, hasad, the jealous, is the enemy of my favors, is displeased. By that destiny, by the taqdeer that I have, which is distributed among my creation. Allah distributes it with His wisdom, with His might, and this hasood, He is always after the blessings that were distributed by Allah. In another hadith, the Prophet says to his companions that, beware, my friends, a disease is fast approaching you, a disease which the nations before me, they were destroyed by that disease. And then people who are present in that majlis, they ask that, what is that disease? The Prophet, he says, it's hasad. Says hasad does not remove a hair, does not eradicate a hair of one's face, of that person who you are jealous of. But here would destroy this person who is jealous. Or for example, like we say that, usulul kufr salatatun al-hirs wal-istikbar al-hasad. Says, the basis of kufr, the Prophet says, there are three. The first one is hirs, means greed. Second is arrogance, istikbar. Hasad is jealousy. You find in these superpowers, all these three powers, and Rasulullah says that that is the downfall of an individual. When you find these three elements in an individual, may that be a person, may that be an organization, may that be a rule, may that be a nation. If you find these three usul and elements in an individual, that is the downfall. That is hatred, that is arrogance, greed. Says that is the downfall of that person. Or elsewhere, Amir al-Mu'mineen, he says, al-hasood la yasood. That someone who is jealous, he will never benefit. Aqallu an-nas ladatan al-hasood. Hasood, the person who is jealous, is a person who never benefits or who never tastes and enjoys, who never enjoys at all. Al-hasood maghmumun. Hasood, the person who is jealous, he is always in grief. Now there is a checklist which we find that has been mentioned by Ma'asumeen. They say that look into this checklist. If you find any of them in you, then that hasad is present in us and we have to work out and remove it. All this evil that we find, may that be lying, may that be backbiting, may that be hasad, may that be all of these diseases that we find in our soul, we have to remove them. It is wajib for we. Wajib, we work of two types. We work wajib, the regular wajib like the prayers and the fast which you offer. And we put some wajibat which are fawri. If someone wishes you salamun alaykum, it is wajib on you immediately that you reply him. If you don't do that, you've committed a sin. Even if you are saying your prayers and someone wishes you salamun alaykum, you have to say salamun alaykum to him. That is wajib fawri. Or for example, if there is an eclipse, it is wajib upon you to say those namaz-e ayat immediately while that eclipse, or that while that hurricane, or while those thunderstorms are taking place, or while that shake and a tremor is there, earthquake is there. You have to say that there and then. If you don't do it within that time, you have to do it with the intention of qaza. The same thing is with this wrong that comes across in us. If that is hasad, we have to remove it. We have to work and remove it. Now from the checklist, if we find that it is in us, we have to put it away. One of the other things that we have been taught by Ma'asumeen alayhim as-salam, they say that If there is a disease in you, like for example hasad, and you've been working on it to get rid of it, remove it from yourself, and you were not successful, here Ma'asum says that you recite Allahumma ghfir lil mu'mineena wal mu'minat wal muslimina wal muslimat 25 times every day, and after some time you will find that disease has vanished from you. As a result of that hasad that we have for all these individuals or different people in that community, by this prayers that we have for them, gradually that disease also eradicates and is removed from us. Now, what is this checklist? The basic criteria in hasad is that what you love for yourself, hate for others, and that what he wants for others, hates for himself. So being clear from hasad, that is, that what you love for yourself, love for others too. The first checklist on this checklist is that by seeing or hearing the joy, wealth, position, job, beauty, car, or education of an individual, do you get upset? If you get upset, then know that that hasad is active. Or when someone speaks bad about another person, do you accept it quickly? If you accept it quickly, it means that hasad is active. When one is praised, are you upset that someone talks good about another person? So do you get upset? If you do, then we have to look into ourselves. If you know one worthy of praise, is it tough for you to praise him? Someone known to be lower, inferior than you, if he takes heed, do you get upset? If he gets a promotion in job, if he studies much more or gets in education, is much more successful, do you get upset? Or becomes wealthier than you are? If you become upset and angry, that means that there is something wrong in us. Other people know you as a fierce and an angry person. That is again another checklist. Do you praise in the presence of a few and talk behind their back? Do you consider most of the people as ruthless and wrong? Are you pleased when others are afflicted and hurt? The pessimism of others and the ill talk behind them, do you inform them? That is, if someone comes and talks bad behind another person, so do I go and tell him that this is what is happening behind your back? So if I'm sincere, and if I'm not creating a mess and a chaos, it is upon me to inform him that this is what is happening behind you, behind your back. Do you feel like avenging in the calm all the time? If that is the case, then it means that there is something wrong in us. Do you criticize and complain a lot, and does it bother you? Are you known to be a suspicious person? So all these are things that Ma'asumin, they have mentioned in Riwayah, that were mentioned over here, just in bullet points. And again, as it was mentioned, that we have to try and work out that if this hasad is present in us, we have to remove it as soon as possible. Because after a certain age, if we don't correct ourselves, we will not be able to correct ourselves as we get older and older. So this is a good time that if you did not know these issues, we have known them. And if you have any question about that, I'm here to answer for a few minutes.
Loud salawat! Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali
Muhammad. You spoke about the ayn. That is something very prevalent, I hear, can you please elaborate? Is that part of culture, descending from Jahiliyyah, or is it actually something with the Islamic basis?
The question is regarding the ayn, regarding Shesh Zadan. Yeah, Nazar Lag Jahi, it's regarding that. Jinxing in English. We have riwayah, for example, in one of these riwayah, we find that Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam. He comes by one of the cemeteries and graveyards. So his ashab are also present with him. And Imam says to them, do you know the majority of those who are buried over here, 70% plus, says they've died because of jinxing, because of these bad eyes, evil eyes that people have towards others. So that is something that we have. Or sometimes we find walil ayni haq. That is, again, we do find that the eye. And for that, we do have these different du'as. One of them is this Surah An-Nas, to be recited a lot. And many a times you find this ayah, which is famous and known in the Urdu-speaking community as the Iranian ayah. وَإِنْ يَكَادُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لَيَزْلِقُونَكَ بِأَبْصَارِهِمْ. It's the last ayah of Surah An-Nun. So that again, it's one of these ayat. If you recite them a lot, or sometimes you find that you have these ta'weez on that ayat, that they help. So there are things that exist. And Al-Shalam Al-Karim, he also has talked in length on this issue. Anything else?
Yes, sir. Like there is a controversy between alim and some believe it's there and some don't. And if it's there, how does it work? Like how can an individual cause harm to others? All the harm and good is in the hands of Allah. So
yeah, how can an individual cause harm to others? You have Surah Nas again, one in Shadwe, Hasidin ila Hasad, or Ul A'udhu bi Rabbin Nas, Malik al Nas, Ilah al Nas. من شر الوسواس الخناس الذي يوسوس في صدور الناس من الجنة والناس. So you do have that creation of Allah, that some of them who are harmful. That is, may that be from the jinn, may that be from the ins of the man. So they can cause harm. So that harm, sometimes it's Wi-Fi harm, sometimes it's that physical harm. So this jinxing is that Wi-Fi harm.
Will there be punished for that?
Oh yes, there is a punishment for that. For hasad, the person who is hasood, a person, now all that jinxing against stands out from that hasad that a person possesses. Because he is hasood, he possesses that evil in him, he hasn't corrected himself, so because of that hasad, he will be punished. Yeah.
Will the person who was mahsood be rewarded?
Yes, yeah. The person who is mahsood, according to all of these riwayat, they say that the moment a person performs hasad, that the moment he is jealous of him, all the good that he had done is transferred to that mahsood. All the bad of that mahsood is transferred to this hasid. So negative goes to this person, positive goes there. Yeah, that again is another way how he, yes. Yeah. For example, there is a person A and a person B. A is jealous of B. So I want to clear this hasad in this person A from the person B. So the reason why he is jealous of him is for all certain things which he possesses, certain blessings and favors which Allah has on him, as a result of which he gets upset. So it is tough for us to come to terms that whatever he deserves, he is the rightful owner of his. So me, when I start praying that Allah help him, protect him, all that has been given to him, all these are initial stages that I have for that individual, that gradually that hatred that I have for that person will be reduced. That is how prayers work. And that is why we find that Allahumma fir lil mu'mineena wal mu'minat wal muslimeena wal muslimat. Imam says recite that 25 times and gradually these diseases that are in us, they will also be eradicated, will be removed. Yes?
For example, if someone is more erudite than somebody else, you work hard for one object and you know the other person is not working as hard, but he still gets it. You feel bad. Is that considered a hasad?
Yes. Because we talked on this issue yesterday, on the concept of tawakkul. That is, all these qualities of Shias are mentioned. And then finally, Imam comes and says that when it comes to you working for your wife and children, al-kadru li'ayalihka al-mujahid fi sabilillah, that someone who works for his wife and children, for his family, is like a mujahid in the way of Allah. So we do find that. And a person, it may so happen that he works quite hard, but he doesn't get as much as he should be getting. There will be another person, like for example, Hazrat Maryam, she was on the prayer mat and everything was given to her. So there might have been people, and there have been definitely were people who were jealous of her. So that is jealousy, that we stand against the distribution of Allah, that in reality we have no faith in Allah, that He is giving a little bit more, a lot more to them, a little, and a lot lesser to us. That again turns back.
You don't feel that nothing should be taken away from them, but you just feel, why is that happening? Is that considered a hazard?
Well, why is that happening? We don't need to worry about that. Okay. Because distribution of rizq is from Allah. It is based upon His wisdom. Whatever He wishes, to whomever He wishes, how so much ever He wants, He gives. Again, we talked on this issue, I think, in the Jummah khutbah, that many a times we find that many of these, in the same concept of destiny and taqdeerat, there is a beautiful hadith of Qudsi. There Allah says that I have distributed everything based upon my wisdom. Sometimes you find that you are doing good and you've come to a point and all of a sudden you find that it's lost, you lose it. An example for that, for example, if your prayers were on time all the time and it was as such for the past 20, 30 years and all of a sudden one of your prayers is missed, you lose it. You don't pray it on time, it's qaza. Now how did that happen? You've been working hard for the past 30 years. All of a sudden, a prayer of yours is qaza. Here Allah says that I made it happen. I purposely did it. The reason for that is that if you continued with your prayers being punctual on time, you would have been afflicted with kibr, with ghurur, with pride. To protect you, Allah says, I afflicted you in that way so that you slept and your prayer was gone. So that I do not want to lose you, you can lose your prayer, but Allah said, I don't want to lose you. So that is how beautiful this whole concept of rizq, whole concept of... Now, rizq doesn't mean only job, food, studies. Rizq is everything. It could be anything in spirituality, anything in morality. All that is classified as rizq. And the more we ask of it, the more we have to ask.
You suggested that if one person was talking behind another person, that it's important to tell that person that to make them aware.
So,
yeah.
What if you confronted that person individually at first before telling the other person?
Everything in this in these issues is based on common sense. That we have to use our common sense. If you find that if you inform that person that this is what is happening behind your back, if it creates a big mess and a greater chaos, you don't tell him. But if you find that by telling him, informing him is going to be beneficial for you and beneficial for him and it will work out better, then you tell him. That is exactly the same thing that we find in the conditions for Amr bil Ma'ruf. That is, if you want to inform someone or invite someone to do good or refrain him from doing evil, those conditions have to be met. And one of those conditions is that by you informing him, you have got the faintest idea that it will be beneficial. But if you find that no, there is a 1% chance that he will not accept what you are saying, don't tell him. It's a common sense. Yeah?
An example, like if a girl goes and like asks, usually she goes and discusses everything with the parents, especially with the mom, or the girl like discussing everything like,
with her husband.
Yeah. So if she asks, like she says, she's not taunting, she's not making fun, but she's like upset and says, this is what happened with my friend, someone has hurt her, or with my relative. Is that known as backbiting?
We have an ayah in Quran which says that الَّذِينَ يُحِبُّونَ أَن تَشِيعَ الْفَاحِشَةَ فِي الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. That is, there are some people who love to promote fahisha. Over here is indecency. Indecency of any type. It could be by defaming an individual, it could be by promoting these dances, songs, and all this haram that we film, that we have in the community, all this is classified as fahisha, everything which is indecent. Sometimes you find that we, by doing this, we are promoting something wrong and indecent in the community. If that is the case, Allah says they have a severe punishment. Severe punishment in the hereafter. فِي الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. That is, we are promoting something which is negative. فِي الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Amongst the believers. So if I come and talk about an individual in this majlis, for example, majlis of mu'mineen, so that is bad that I want to talk about that person. And I'm promoting that negative, projecting that negative in this majlis of mu'mineen, so that Allah says that person deserves a severe punishment. So we have to be careful that what we are doing, again, same answer, that we have to use our common sense. That we, if you want to say something, you can say it anonymous by not mentioning the name of that person so that he is not defamed. Or if you need to mention the name of that person, mention it in a way that he is not defamed. That is, or as it was mentioned in the previous days, that al-mu'minu a'zamu hurmatan min al-shahr. That the hurmat, the sanctity that Allah has given to one individual mu'min is more than the holy Kaaba. So we have to be careful. Are we breaking, shattering the dignity of Kaaba? That is by breaking the heart of this mu'min. Yeah.
What is the punishment if you miss a roza?
What is the punishment? If you miss that roza intentionally, okay. If someone was ill, he couldn't observe that fast, or if he was traveling, then they are okay, there's no punishment for them. If he does it intentionally, he eats it, or he doesn't observe it, punishment for that is that he has to make 60 fasts for that one fast which he has missed, and then he has to feed 60 people for that one fast which he has missed, plus he has to make it up, that one qaza that he has done. And these 60 fasts, that is the penalty, the kafara which is applied onto him, 31 of them he has to do them consecutively, one after the other, without any break. Now, 31. If he, for example, did 30 on the 31st day which he was to observe, he got sick. He couldn't do it. He had to travel. He has to make up all over again. 1 to 31. And then the 29 which are remaining, he can do it whenever he wishes before his death. That is the punishment. Now, this is one of punishment, but more than that is that by these sins that we commit, we are standing and opposing the existence of Allah, the Barakah wa Ta'ala. That is even much more greater. A person, he may be able to do those atonements and kafaras, but what he has done is that he has stood against Allah by opposing and by not observing that fast. There is this hadith, you must have heard it, that Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib Imam says that أَشَدُّ الظُّنُوبِ مَسْتَخَفَّ بِهِ صَاحِبُهُ, that the worst of all sins is that sin which the person who's committing that sin says that it's tiny, it's small. It's just one roza that I ate. Imam says that is the hugest, that is the largest sin that you have committed. أَوْ مَسْتَهَانَ بِهِ صَاحِبُهُ, which he says that he takes it easy. Those are the greatest sins that he commits during his lifetime. And if we continue with these small sins are not small sins anymore. They become greater sins, and they become Qur'an Kabir, the greater sins. And for the greater sins, in this dunya also there is an atonement, there is a punishment, lashes, beheading, etc. And in the hereafter again, there is other soul securance. May I? Yeah. Okay, last one.
My question is, for example, you're not financially capable to feed 60 people, but at the same time your health is not supporting you to keep 60
Yeah, that people. Is another issue that la yukellifu Allah nafsan illa wus'aha, that Allah also does not burden you when you cannot do it. So someone who cannot fast for those many fasts, and he is not capable again to feed so many people, the teaching is that he says, astaghfirullah rabbi wa atubu ilayh, many times, sincerely, and that is, he is done with that kafara. But that one qaza which he has to make up, he has to make up. It doesn't mean that we just keep on skipping Aliyazullah the fast and say astaghfirullah, that will be done. It doesn't work that way. اللهم اغفر لنا ولوالدينا ولمن وجب له حقا علينا ولمن وصانا بالدعاء ولجميع أمة محمد وآل محمد اللهم اغفر للمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات تابع اللهم بيننا وبينهم بالخيرات إنك مجيب الدعوات إنك على كل شيء قدير. Just to remind you again that from the 13th of this month onwards, the dose that we have for du'as and recitation, it will gradually increase because it is the month of du'a. From the 13th, 14th and 15th, we will add du'a mujir to the program after the recitation of du'a iftitah. Again, it is highly recommended for this month. And all this is a prescription that has been prescribed by the Maksumi alayhi wasalam. And as we all will just increase and top up whatever we have upon ourselves.
So we need your help in picking up the stuff today. You don't need to do anything to the tables and chairs, just the sheets and the electronics. Thank you very much.
السلام عليك يا رسول الله السلام عليك يا نبي الله السلام عليك يا خير خلق الله السلام عليكم وعلى أهل بيتكم الطيبين الطاهرين السلام عليك يا صاحب الزمان السلام عليك يا شريك القرآن السلام عليك يا إمام الإنس والجان أجل الله تعالى فرجك وسهل الله تعالى مخرجك وظهورك رحمة الله وبركاته
الله محمد وعلى محمد.